I can see him now, King Odysseus. He was wearing a heavy woolen cape, sea purple, in double folds, with a golden brooch to clasp it, twin sheaths for the pins, on the face a work of art, a hound clenching a dappled fawn in its front paws, slashing it as it writhed. All marvelled to see it, solid gold as it was. The hound slashing, throttling the fawn in its death throes, hoofs flailing to break free. I noticed his glossy tunic, too, clinging to his skin like the thin glistening skin of a dried onion, silky soft, the glint of the sun itself. Women galore would gaze on it with relish. And this, too, bear it in mind, won't you? I've no idea if Odysseus wore these things at home, or a comrade gave him them as he boarded ship, or a host, perhaps. The man was loved by many. There were few Achaeans to equal him. And I gave him a bronze sword, myself. A lined cloak, elegant, deep red, and a fringed shirt as well, and I saw him off on his long bent ship of war in lordly style. Something else. He kept a herald beside him, a man a little older than himself. I'll try to describe him to you best I can. Round-shouldered he was, swarthy, curly-haired. His name, Eurybates. And Odysseus prized him most of all his men. Their minds worked as one. His words renewed her deep desire to weep, recognizing the strong, clear signs Odysseus offered. But as soon as she'd had her fill of tears and grief, Penelope turned again to her guest and said, "Now, stranger, much as I pitied you before, now in my house you'll be my special friend, my honored guest. I am the one myself who gave him the very clothes that you describe. I brought them up from the storeroom, folded them neatly, fastened the golden brooch to adorn my husband, Odysseus. Never again will I embrace him, striding home to his own native land. A black day it was when he took ship to see that cursed city. Destroy, I call it. I hate to say its name." "Ah, my queen," the man of craft assured her, "noble wife of Laertes' son Odysseus, ravage no more your lovely face with tears, or consume your heart with grieving for your husband. Not that I'd blame you, ever. Any woman will mourn the bridegroom she has lost, lain with in love, and borne his children too. Even though he was no Odysseus, a man like a god, they say. But dry your tears and take my words to heart. I will tell you the whole truth and hide nothing. I have heard Odysseus now at last is on his way. He is just in rich Thesprotian country. The man is still alive, and he's bringing home a royal hoard of treasure, gifts he won from the people of those parts. His crew, he's lost his crew and hollow ship on the wine-dark waters off Thrinacia Island. Zeus and Helios raged, dead set against Odysseus, for his men-at-arms had killed the cattle of the sun, so down to the last hand they drowned, in crashing seas. But not Odysseus. Clinging tight to his ship's keel, the breakers flung him out into dry land on Scyria, the land of Phaeacians, close kin to the gods themselves. And with all their hearts they prized him like a god, showered the men with gifts, and they'd have gladly sailed him home unscathed. In fact, Odysseus would have been here beside you long ago, but he thought it the better, shrewder course to recoup his fortunes roving through the world. That sly prophet turning, there's not a man alive to touch Odysseus. He's got no rival there. So I learned from Phaidon, king of Thesprotia, who swore to me as he poured libations in his house. The ships hauled down, and the shipmates set to sail to take Odysseus.